Don't you just love those girls? Aren't they good? Yeah, I just love their sensitivity to the spirit and the song choices that they pick. We're very blessed to have them. Well, welcome back. Now we're in 2025, and you girls that have been with me for a while know about my silly New Year's poem, and so I'm going to read it again. So here we go. 'Twas the month after Christmas, and all through the house, nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I'd nibbled, the eggnog I'd taste at the holiday parties had gone to my waist. When I got on the scales, there arose such a number. And when I walked to the store, less a walk, more a slumber, I'd remember the marvelous meals I'd prepared, the gravies and sauces and beef nicely reared, the eggnog and rum balls, the bread and the cheese, and the way I'd never said, no thank you, please. As I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt and prepared once again to do battle with dirt, I said to myself, as only I can, you can't spend the winter dressed like a man. So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip, every last bit of food that I like must be banished until the additional ounces have vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I'll want only to chew on a long celery stick. I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. I'm hungry, I'm lonesome, and life is a bore. But isn't that what January's for? Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet. Isn't that funny? I mean, we're all the same. This year Gary said, okay, Meef, you know, we both gained weight since he's semi-retired and I'm retired. And so he said, we're going to do Whole 30. And I don't know what Whole 30 is. So he buys the book and he's reading the book and it's working. So I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to 2025. So I just want to remind you of the reason we're here, but our women's ministry theme verse, Zephaniah 3:9. Call upon the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. It's so fun. It's the best ride. It's the adventure of your life to walk through this life with Jesus, with your girlfriends, with your family. And so that's what we're going to do, right? 2025. Stay shoulder to shoulder, close to Jesus. I think it's going to be a good year. I'm kind of excited about what's coming. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning and just the beautiful worship, Lord. How we can just be brought into the heavenlies, that such a peaceful, beautiful place through the worship of the girls. And I just lift every woman up that's made her way here this morning. I know it's kind of hard, Lord. We had a long break. And Jesus, I just pray that you'd meet her here, that through the worship or the table time or the message, that you would tell her how much you love her, tell her that you're on her side, and just let her know how much she's loved. I commit this time into your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Rejoice in suffering. I don't think those two words should be in the same sentence. But they're in the Bible, so I have to accept it, right? Amanda taught us a long, long time ago that even Jesus learned from suffering and that it actually works together for good in the life of a believer. It teaches us God's sovereignty. She gave us some wisdom on how to go through suffering. She said, pray expectantly, love one another, continue to love. Even when you're suffering, continue to love others. Be hospitable and continue to use your gifts for the glory of God. Suffering is a part of life. Life has hills and it has valleys. And so she encouraged us with those words. At this time, at the time of Peter's writing, Nero's persecution of Christians had begun and was getting worse. Christians were being thrown to the lions in the arena. Some were being tarred and lit on fire and used as lamps in Caesar's gardens. It's hard for us to even believe such a barbaric behavior. But this was the culture in Peter's time when he wrote to his friends. Suffering was very real to them. We don't see much persecution in America, but in other countries, Christians are being tortured, thrown in prison, and even beheaded for their faith. There's an organization called the World Watch List that you can look them up on the internet. And they say that in 2024, more than 365 million Christians suffered high levels of persecution. And one in seven worldwide suffered, and last year, 4,998 Christians were murdered for their faith. So it's a real thing. Real persecution of Christians is a real thing, even though we don't see a lot of it here in America. In Peter's day, the church was brand new. Jesus had showed up and was giving them the truth, and great suffering would come if they named the name of Christ. To those who named him, they could really suffer. Nero wanted complete allegiance, no competitors. So when this whole new Christian thing started, he didn't like it very much. Let's read 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial or ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. So in reading this little portion of 1 Peter 4, I see four challenging exhortations from these verses for us today. This really ministered to me. I had a lot of fun with this portion of scripture. Number one, don't be surprised at suffering or consider it strange. Honestly, I think we all do. As soon as something goes wrong, we go, well, I'm trying to be a good girl. I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to do everything right. Why is this happening to me? So number one, don't be surprised at suffering or consider it strange. Number two, rejoice in suffering. Number three, this is Meef's version, don't suffer for being stupid. And number four, entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. So these are the four exhortations that I see that Peter is giving us in these verses. Number one, don't be surprised at suffering or consider it strange. I love that it says the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God's glory, rests on you. And that's going to perturb and make some people pretty angry probably at times. Peter says suffering comes upon us for our testing. It's kind of scary that beloved, and the word beloved means divinely loved. So whenever you see the word beloved, it means divinely loved. It's scary that beloved and fiery trial are even in the same sentence, but fiery trials refine us like silver, so that the reflection of Jesus is what others see. Peter says, change your mind, guys. You've got to change your mind. You've got to stop thinking wrong. Don't let suffering take you by surprise. It's a part of life. It's going to happen. We have to stop thinking that a fiery trial is inconsistent with the Christian lifestyle. All of that, I mean, when we read the Bible, if we look at the apostles and how they suffered, I mean, it's a part of being a Christian. It's not optional, it's necessary. And we are fools if we think we can become like Christ without them. I don't know about you, but my first reaction is usually self-pity. This is not fair. How come she's got all this stuff and I don't have any? Or whatever, you know, whatever you might be thinking. Or I do everything right and she's the one that gets the BMW, or what, however you think it. Oswald Chambers says self-pity is satanic. We have to stop processing wrong. And in a fiery trial, which they will come, they're going to come for all of us, in a fiery trial, we're to drop to our knees and worship God there, that it's been brought on upon us for our testing. The Lord has allowed it and brought it upon us for our testing. And not ask God why. And I think Amanda said this the last time she taught too. We're not supposed to ask why. Girls, if you ask why, you will just spin around in circles like a crazy girl. You have to ask what. Lord, what is it you want to teach me? Is there something in my life that doesn't belong? Am I not listening to you? What do you want to teach me during this time? There is always purpose in the trial of our faith. 1 Peter 1:7, a long time ago, said, "If necessary, you have been distressed by trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Have you ever watched a Holy Spirit-filled Christian suffer? I hadn't. Most of my Christian life, I hadn't, to be honest. And then about 25 years ago, maybe 24 years ago, I don't know, one of my friends, when Gary and I were at Maranatha Chapel, one of my girlfriends got breast cancer. An amazing woman of God. She was young, probably in her late 40s, I think. And I watched a friend peacefully die of breast cancer, glorifying God through the whole thing, deferring to his wisdom above her own. That's the kind of trust she had in her Maker. She bought me a little lighthouse, and for many years I would look at it and remember her incredible faith in God. Long after she was gone, I would look at that lighthouse and I'd say, "Lord, make me like her. When my time comes, Lord, make me like her. Help me to trust you above my own self." Our friend Maria Roser. A lot of you in this church know Maria. What an incredible, everybody loves Maria. They would love to spend 10 minutes with her. She's just such a woman of God. But she lost both of her sons. She only had two sons. She lost both of her sons tragically. She stood in that fire and became an incredible witness, glorifying God and trusting his plan, though her heart was broken. She kept trusting God right through it. And now God is using Maria big time with Umbrella Ministries and having her speak and minister to other women who have lost children. In the second century in North America, the blood of the martyrs soaked the earth as believers were fed to the lions, beaten, whipped, sawed in half, put to death by the sword, and burned in the fire, and chained in prisons. A church father named Tertullian wrote that the more Christians were persecuted and mown down, the more they would multiply. And Tertullian said, that the blood of the Christians has become the seed of the church. That when someone stood where God had them and trusted, that just made God even bigger and more powerful. That they were able to trust him like that. And Smith Wigglesworth, he's a guy way back when, he said, "Great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumphs can only come out of great trial." So ladies, we will suffer. If our goal in life is to be transformed into the image of Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, we have got to change our mind on suffering and think differently and not consider it strange. We live in a fallen world full of deception and lies. We have to understand that suffering will be a vital part of our transformation. So I want you to know that today, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, he will never leave you or forsake you. He is a strong foundation for you to stand on, and that you can trust him. I mean, 46 years now, I've been going through junk. Larissa being in a terrible car accident. It's terrible. My son getting divorced. Horrible things happening. And you just stand and you trust God through it. That's what Christians do. So number one, don't be surprised at suffering or consider it strange. Number two, Peter encourages us to rejoice in suffering. That's a little hard. I admit I'm a kindergarten in the school of suffering. I'm not so sure that I rejoice in it. I don't know that I'm... Rejoicing is not the first thing I think of when persecution hits or when difficult times hit. But ladies, we don't rejoice because we suffer. That would be sadistic. That's messed up. You don't rejoice because you suffer. We rejoice because we share in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, that we belong to him, and he's our heavenly Father, and that even he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And these things that come into our lives will bring us closer to our Master and Lord. And there's honestly, there's nothing better than that. So a long time ago, when I went through a really, really, really bad time, I have this sentence that anything that brings you to the feet of Jesus is a good thing. Anything. Because at the feet of Jesus is where there's rest, there's peace, there's love, there's joy, there's the fruit of the Spirit. All the things you long for, all the stuff that your soul longs for is at the feet of Jesus. But often we're a little too busy. He is Lord and I am not. When I live for him, whatever comes my way has come across my Father's desk and has purpose, eternal purpose for my life to make me more like Jesus. I need to slow down and listen hard. When life gets crazy and you just don't know what's going on, you listen and obey. You slow down and you listen hard. Read your Bible, do your devotions, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and listen hard. Romans 8 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The whole creation groans and suffers, waiting. We hope for what we've yet to see. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it." Even creation is groaning. Even creation is suffering, waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're living for a different king and a different kingdom where righteousness rules, where things are up right side up instead of upside down like they are in the world that we live in. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond our comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen." Because the things which are seen, that's temporal, but the unseen things are eternal. So when it gets hard, you start to suffer, you're feeling persecution, go looking for the unseen. Don't look around, right? That's a Corrie ten Boom said, you'll get confused, you'll get depressed. You look inside, you get depressed. You look around, you get distressed. You look up, you find rest. Go to Jesus. When Paul wrote these words, he was living in light of eternity. I mean, nobody was persecuted more than Paul, stoned and shipwrecked and all the stuff that happened to him. He had a light touch on this world. So you say to me, "Mifa, I want to do this. I want to, yeah, that sounds good. I want to do that. How? How do I do that in a fallen world?" By doing what you're doing. You know, you don't get ready if you're what are those, MFA? What are those guys that fight? What are they called? MMA. Okay. You don't get ready for an MMA fight the day of the fight, right? You're training. You are being trained to stand in that very difficult place to fight. And that's what you're doing by doing your homework and doing your personal devotions and going to church and having your mind renewed by the Word of God. You are being transformed by the renewing of your mind daily with God's truth. Your values will change. You will become more heavenly minded by the power of the Holy Spirit the more you spend time in God's Word. And you will not be so rattled when the rug gets pulled out, because you will have been trained and you will be ready to fight the good fight of faith right there in the suffering where God has you. As you have been reading God's Word, and your mind is, you're being transformed and your mind is being renewed. I love this one. This is one of my brand new favorites. I have a lot of favorites, but Psalm 37:31. This is a good one, girls. You ought to write it down. The law of her God is in her heart. Her steps do not slip. Isn't that good? And that's what I'm talking about. That's the training, the fight. You don't get ready for the fight the day of the fight. You're training. You're renewing your mind. You're training yourself in truth and in God's word. And the Holy Spirit is in you. The law of her God is in her heart. Her steps do not slip. I'm going to have this. I'm already thinking about it. Turning this into a piece of art and having it hanging over my desk in my office, because I think it's such a powerful verse. Only God can make sense of all the nonsense in this world. So I choose to stay really close to him and listen hard. And why did Jesus come? This is a verse the Lord showed me during the Christmas break. Why did he come? Now we know he came to save the world, right? But John 18:37 said, he said, Jesus said, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. He came into the world so that we could have truth that would set us free, because the world is full of lies and deception. And so he came, for this I was born, and for this I've come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. So the closer we stay to him, the closer we stay in truth and in God's word, the more peace and more understanding we're going to have when the stuff hits the fan. The darker this world gets, the more reliable my Bible becomes. I trust the word of God more than any man, no matter how many degrees he has. And I put their words up against the word of God when they're trying to confuse me with their worldly wisdom, like on the news stations. I'm like, no, 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 no. Turn the channel. Turn it off. Yeah, you're not walking with the Lord. So the secret is to think differently. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind daily. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day, no matter how old we are. The Holy Spirit in us is being renewed day by day. And Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. You're otherworldly. How about that? But you are not of this world, because I chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world's going to hate you. So suffering's going to happen, ladies. Suffering is inevitable in a fallen world full of deception. In this writing, Peter was obviously remembering the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you because of me. Your reward in heaven will be great. That's a promise from Jesus himself. God has built this church since Gary and I came in 2010. And there has been one very consistent message from the new people over the past 15 years. It's almost hilarious, because everybody that comes to me says the same thing. And they say, Meef, I'm home. I'm finally home. Maybe they've been church searching for a church family or whatever. They come to me and they say, I'm finally home, you know. But ladies, that's not true. That's not true. I'm glad you love the church, and I love it too, but Calvary Chantilly is only a slight aroma of Christ. You are just getting a taste of heaven by surrounding yourself with spirit-filled, Jesus-loving believers. That's what you're experiencing. A little taste of heaven. Heaven is your real home. The love you feel, the beautiful friendships being built are a direct result of the presence of God abiding and living in the people of God at Calvary Chapel Santee. That's amen, hallelujah. That's the truth. And if he wasn't here, we wouldn't like each other very much. So the presence of God abiding and living in the people of God at Calvary Chapel Santee as they abide in him. And so that's what makes this home. That's what makes you feel safe here. Makes you feel it's Jesus. It's his presence. The only way we can ever rejoice in suffering is to abide in him, trusting him and being renewed by him day by day. So number one, don't be surprised by suffering. It's going to happen. Number two, rejoice in the suffering. Stay connected to the church and your family who can help you, love you through it. And then the third one, don't suffer for being stupid. Real Christians are the greatest threat to an ungodly government because they answer to a higher power. If an ungodly, like George Soros or someone like that, you know, some ungodly person tries to control you or manipulate you, you can say, no, I answer to a higher power than you. So real Christians are a threat to an ungodly government, and we may suffer at some point under their leadership, but great strength comes from obeying God and worshiping him only. I remember during COVID, I remember watching something on the internet where Australia, the officials in Australia that were wanting to put people into like concentration camps for not getting the vaccines, they knew where the strongest, I can't remember if it was East Australia, they knew the portion of Australia that had the most Christians in it. So they went there first. They knew that if they could get them and get them in the concentration camps, then they probably could get everybody. Not concentration, but you know what I mean. But come on, Peter says, don't suffer for being a murderer. You know, life's hard enough, right? Don't suffer for being a murderer, or being a thief, or an evildoer, or a troublesome meddler or busybody trying to fix everyone else when we can't even fix ourselves. Mind your own business or you will suffer. I love that Peter put murderer with busybody. I don't know what your Bible says. I got troublesome meddler and busybody from two different versions. But he put murderer with a busybody. Yeah. Yeah, trying to fix everyone else. We can't. We have enough trouble. I always tell everybody, they think sometimes they'll come, you're judging me. No, I'm not. I can't even do me. I have enough trouble keeping me right with Jesus. I'm not judging you. You do you. I love that he put those two things together. Proverbs 26:17 says, like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. I think every woman in the world needs to hear this probably every day because we're fixers, we're nurturers, we want to fix everybody and we've got answers for all their problems. And it ain't true. I got to the point where I was being a biblical counselor. I decided I am going to give them a Bible. I would do tons of research. I'm going to give them a Bible verse for every question they ask me. You know what? And it went, they until they sought the Lord for their problem. And wanted help, nothing was going to help them. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a conflict ceases. So I encourage you, don't meddle in other people's business, even your grown children. I had to learn this last year. They stay in your own lane. Pray for your child. But be careful. Don't meddle in their business. We are only blessed if we suffer for righteousness' sake. If I suffer for being stupid, that's my own fault. We are all going to suffer, but Peter says in 3:17, it is better to suffer for doing what is right than to suffer for doing what is wrong. Number three is pretty self-explanatory, so I'm not going to dwell there because the last exhortation is so powerful. So number one, don't be surprised at suffering. Number two, rejoicing suffering. Number three, don't suffer for being stupid. And the last one is the one I like the best. Entrust your soul to a faithful creator. That's what Peter tells his friends. Trust God, no matter what comes your way, and trust your soul to a faithful creator. We don't want to be chocolate soldiers melting at the first sign of heat. Ephesians 6:13 says, take up the full armor of God, resist in the evil day, and stand firm. Father knows best. Sometimes it can get really difficult to stand in a fiery trial and entrust our souls to a faithful creator. Remember Job's wife's counsel during his fiery trial? Wasn't she a sweetheart? Curse God and die. That's what she said to her husband. Curse God and die. But Job in 2:10, he replies, shall we accept good from God, but not accept adversity? And by chapter 13, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. That's a man who's entrusted his soul to a faithful creator. And Psalm 73 is the discouragement psalm. If you're discouraged today and you came here, I encourage you to go home and read. Go home and read Psalm 73. It's the words of a priest named Asaph. He said, God is good. He was kind of having a pity party a little bit. God is good, but as for me, my steps had nearly slipped. He was struggling because he was watching the wicked prosper. He said, in vain I've kept my heart pure. I am stricken all day long and chastened every morning. It was troublesome in my sight until I came into the house of God. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As for me, the nearness of God is my good. So he starts out the psalm having a pity party, feeling sorry for himself and saying, it's not fair, I'm a good boy, and why do the wicked prosper? But at the very end, he said, as for me, the nearness of God is my good. This world is not our home. They are redefining everything, and when you reject the truth, all you are left with is a lie, whichever lie you choose. In the face of great suffering, we must entrust our souls to a faithful creator. I am watching two very dear friends, do this right now. Mark Grisey and Don Carrier, two very godly men who were gold in this church, who blessed every person that came in contact with them. They are fighting life's final battle and holding their will to the current of his will, deferring to him and his wisdom as they stand in their suffering, waiting for the day they get to go to heaven. And it's precious to watch their wives standing next to them. I mean, Darla, oh my, so tender. I know she's got to be exhausted, but so tender, just loving and taking care of Mark. Just beautiful testimony of love with skin on it, real Jesus kind of love, you know? Just like Jesus did, these guys, Mark and Don, They're at the worst suffering they've ever faced in their life. But they're trusting God, saying, not my will, but thy will be done. We went to see Mark on his birthday, and he said, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. And if he doesn't, then he'll take me home. Just as peaceful. It was just incredible to see him. Ladies, suffering will either make you bitter or better. The only difference is I. Whether I process in truth or lies, he is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Viktor Frankl, in an actual concentration camp, says we give suffering meaning by the way we respond to it. It's how we respond that makes all the difference. 2 Timothy 3:12. Says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But we do have the capacity to process in truth so it has purpose. We stand where God has us, no matter how hard it is, with ruthless trust, absolute surrender, and reckless abandon. My life is not my own. I gave it to Jesus 46 years ago. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And may his will be done. When God brings suffering, fall to your knees and worship there. Number one, don't be surprised by suffering. Count on it. Number two, rejoice in suffering. If you process right, it'll bring you closer to Jesus. Number three, don't suffer for being stupid. That's explanatory. Number four, entrust your soul to a faithful creator. And I'm going to leave you with Jude 1:24, which says, he is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you. And Lord, we don't know what 2025 brings. But once again, as a women's ministry, as shoulder-to-shoulder sisters, Jesus, we give you our lives. They're not ours. And we don't want to fight with you, or anybody else for that matter. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, no matter how difficult things get in our lives, Lord, that we would slow down, regroup, and allow you to feed us truth. Help us, Lord, to respond the way you would have us respond when we enter a difficult time in our life. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're there. That you give us a peace that passes understanding. That Mark Grisey and Don Carrier have this peace that makes no sense, Lord, because of you. So help us to be women like that, Lord. And now I pray that you bless the girls at their table time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.